Didn't have it, I'd be down there trying to get it. Thank the Lord for salvation. And salvation will deliver. And the Lord's still delivering me from a lot of things besides sin. And delivering me from self-sufficiency. Just learning to lean on Him pretty hard. And thankful how the Lord is helped us in our trials and our perplexities along the way. And it's wonderful to have the Lord with us. And I have a thought in our hearts this morning that I've had for quite some time. I'd like to share with you. I feel inadequate this morning. But by the help of the Lord and by the aid of His Spirit, we like to convey some thoughts to you that will help every one of us. We want to talk about God's chosen generation. I guess I haven't thought this anyway. Keep these thoughts in your minds if you can. Thank you. God's chosen generation. We're living in a world of perplexity, world of confusion, world of deception. But right in the middle of all of that, God has the chosen people. We want to get our thought over here this morning. I need your prayers that we might be able to convey our thoughts to where we can get a hold of it. And when the Lord gives me a thought in the Word of God, I ask the Lord to help me. Help me that when I preach to others, that I'll be an example in my own life. In Genesis, the second chapter, an old familiar setting here, the 15th verse, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shall surely die. Right in the midst of all the trees that was available to man, there stood a tree that was all mixed with good and evil. And God said, now don't you partake of that. All the trees in the garden here is available unto you. But now this one tree, don't partake of that. That was God's commandment. Well, Satan came along in the form of a serpent. We all know the story. Familiar with it. And the trees here, I believe, was the trees of righteousness. I like to count these trees that was all around in the garden there was trees of righteousness. And they could partake of those trees abundantly. But now this one tree was forbidden. It was a mixed tree. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about we're living in a mixed generation. But in the midst of it all, God's got a pure, chosen generation. God is calling for pure stock. You don't want no half-breeds in His church. And I was thinking about in the beginning, man was made in the image of God. And God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And in man was brought into his very being was the very image of God, the very likeness, the characteristics, holiness, purity, everything that shows the quality of God was in man. And so we want to consider that this morning. Now, that was God's handiwork. And he looked upon all of his creation and he saw that all of it was good. But the devil, he's got his handiwork too. And he told Eve that the tree was to make her wise. You know the story. And how Satan came along and told Eve, no, you won't die now if you partake of this tree. God told him, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. There's going to be a separation here. And the devil comes right along with his lie and, oh, surely you won't die. Just contradictory here. And so you know the story and how Eve was tempted. She saw the tree. And the enemy worked on her senses, the five senses there, looking, feeling, touching, smelling, tasting, all of these things the enemy tempted her on. And she yielded. Temptation comes through the avenue of desire. Temptation doesn't come through any other avenue but through our physical desires. And so this is the way the enemy came to in the Garden of Eden there. Now ever since the fall, Satan has set up his own handiwork. Right here in the garden, Satan established a worldly religion. Now I want you to follow me here. Now here, Satan here said, and to the woman in the fourth verse of the third chapter. Now he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat. Remember, Eve had a commandment here that came from God. All the trees of the garden you can freely eat, but this one tree is forbidden. She understood that. She had knowledge of that. It registered in her mind. But the enemy here got her attention away from the commandments of God. And he'll do the same with you and I if we're not careful. He'll distract us and get our minds off of the Word of God. And he's trying to confuse the mind here. The devil will try to confuse your mind and my mind. Get it all mixed up. And in looking at this tree, and the enemy was presenting this to her, her mind came to the place to where she was actually confused. And she became, her mind became off of the Word of God and got it on Satan here and accepted it, accepted the Word of Satan above God, and she partook of that, and it brought the whole world into sin. The transgression here. And the man followed suit. Well, right here, the devil had a substitution here. Was erected. In other words, do it yourself now. In other words, do it yourself, a program. Do good, but do it your own way. The enemy set this institution up here. A worldly religious system was established right here. She began to worship the tree. She desired it. And she came to the place where she was devoted unto it, and she partook of it. Satan's system of government is the wrong way. It's the wrong way. God's way is best. We sing the song. And this was a religion of works. Profess God now, but look out for yourself. See? Take care of yourself now, but you can go ahead and profess God if you want to. But look out for yourself. Man's way of doing things, and Satan here has set up a human workforce program. Now you go ahead now and you partake of this. You're not going to die. You'll be as wise as gods. He didn't say God. He said gods. It's in the plural. And you'll be as wise as the gods here. And he set up a human religious system here, right in the Garden of Eden. And it followed that same pattern has fallen right down through the path of humanity. This same system has followed mankind all the way down to the present day. Man has always set up his own method of relief, his own altars, his own religion. And in Numbers over here, the 11th chapter, and the 4th verse, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. There, right among God's chosen, there is a mixed multitude. Over in Exodus, the 12th chapter, you pray for me now that we might be able to bring this out, that it be effective, and God help us. In the 37th verse of the 12th chapter of Exodus, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. When the children of Israel was delivered from the land of Egypt, there came out a mixed multitude right along with them. And this pattern has been following mankind right on down to the present day. There are mixed multitudes among us. Right among God's people, there are mixed multitudes. But right in the midst of this, I want to bring out this morning, right in the midst of all the mixed multitudes, God knows them that are His. God's got us all numbered. He knows exactly the motives of our hearts, the very intents. He knows exactly what's in our minds. He knows what we're thinking about this morning. He knows why we're here. Right in the midst of all the mixed and confused society we're in today, God has a chosen generation. He has a chosen people. And may God help us. Now the word mixed means confused. Combine or join into one mass. A quality of things heaped and stacked together, a group, a diversity of formulated material or substance. Mixed breeds, not pure in characteristics. My father-in-law, he was a man that he raised coonhounds. And he had the red bones and the red blue ticks, red bones. And he had pure stock. And he had papers for him. And if one of his dogs, he happened to find out that there was a mixed breed among the pups, He'd take them and he'd go out about several yards down the country there. He'd knock him in the head, throw him over in the ditch. Well, now that sounds kind of cruel, don't it? But he wanted nothing but pure stock. And when he sold his dogs, he had papers that these was pure, unmixed. This was a purebred. Folks, that is what God is calling for you and I today. To be pure in thought, words, and action. Not mixed up with worldliness. Not mixed up with mixed emotions. But have a pure mind to please God. To serve Him above everything else. A pure mind. If we don't have a pure mind this morning and get all the clutter out of it, get all this mixture out of our minds, I believe we can get a hold of the Word of God a lot quicker. I believe this morning the Lord showed me a long time ago there's too many bought minds. People can't seem to get a hold of the Word. It can be preached time and time again, and yet people go right on doing the same old thing over and over again. So may God help us to have a pure mind. That's important. Now, I said a while ago that, and I'll read that in 2 Timothy. Well, anyway, it said the foundation of God is sure. That's in 2 Timothy 2 and 19 and 21. The foundation of God is sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now He said the foundation of God standeth sure. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. Now sometimes we might get our calculation here and we might get the idea so-and-so is going to make it in and so-and-so ain't going to make it in. And sometimes we figure that way, don't we? But God knows the hearts and the minds of everyone. He knows exactly where we stand before Him. To know God. And for God to know us. The word know means to perceive directly or understand, be familiar with, closely acquainted, frequently seen or experienced, a personal relationship. Folks, that's what we need this morning. We need a personal relationship with God on a daily basis. We need to be able to be familiar with Him. Job 22 and 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. But acquaint thyself. Get acquainted with Him. Get a personal relationship with Him. That nothing will interfere with your personal relationship with God. This is to know Him. To understand Him. To have a mind open to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. I thank God this morning for His Spirit that's able to teach us, to instruct us. But we must have an open mind. We must have a mind open and cleared out of all the rubbish. I believe Paul told us in the Word there, our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God. And the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is your job. This is my job, to keep all the clutter out of our minds. There's two spirits that have access to your mind, and that is the Holy Spirit and the enemy. Satan has a direct access to your mind. And we must see that you and I, casting down imagination, but we can't do that without the power of the Spirit. We need some power to keep our minds free from all clutter,
all types of mixture, all types of discouragement. Get that out of your mind. Anything that will try to cast you down, get it out of your mind. Anything that will exalt itself against what is written, he said, cast it out. Cast it down. We need to do that by the power of God. Now, ever since the fall, mankind in every generation has reproduced mixed breeds, confused, deceived. And the devil has succeeded in his workforce. But when it comes right down to the ending of it, God always going to get the upper hand. He has always had the upper hand. And he always will. Over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, God wants to see the image of Christ in our lives. To know us, God only recognizes himself. That's all he recognized. And he recognizes his son. But he does not recognize humanistic ideas and opinions of men, doctrines of men, but he does recognize his own characteristics. He knows that. That's why he said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. And Matthew, the 13th chapter. Now, God will do all he can, and he'll sacrifice all that he can to preserve a pure church. Now, my mother had both her legs off when I was a year old. My mother didn't know anything about divine healing. She loved the Lord. But when I was a year old, she had her legs taken off. Blood clots turned into gangrene. And in order to preserve the rest of her body, they had to eliminate the legs. Just take them off. To preserve the rest of the body. In order for God to preserve his church, he wants us, every one of us, to eliminate things out of our lives to where, when we stand before God, that he'll be able to recognize his own. When it comes right down to the judgment bar of God, when we all have to stand before him, God's going to look at the one on the left. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't recognize you. I don't recognize my son in your life. Depart from me. Folks, we want to live to where God can recognize his son in our lives. This is important. That God recognize the very characteristics of Christ in our lives. Now, we're living in the middle of a mixed generation. It's in the home. It's among the congregations. It's among our government. Any field of humanity, any group you'll find or movement, you'll find there a mixed multitude there that has no mind to please God. But thank God, down through the generations of time, God had Caleb, he had Joshua, he had Moses, he had Abraham, he had a chosen few there in the midst of all the wickedness, in the midst of all the mixed multitudes there. God had a chosen people that had a mind to serve him. And God works through that individual. God's plan will always work with an individual that has their mind made up that I will follow the Lord. Caleb did that. He had a mind and a spirit to follow the Lord. We need that this morning.
In Matthew, the 13th chapter, I want to bring out a thought here. There are some folks that has mixed emotions. And when you got mixed emotions, you're confused. But God wants us, you and I, to not to be confused or confounded. But he wants you and I to know exactly where we stand in life. We need to know, you know, the hardest thing for humanity, and I thought about this several times, the hardest thing for humanity is to know themselves personally. I've heard folks tell me, when I'm ready for heaven, if I die right now, I'm ready to go. And yet there's carnality there that has risen up in their attitudes and in their minds and can't get along with their neighbors, can't get along with other people, and yet ready to go to heaven. And I pray, Lord, some way make an appeal to their minds and show them exactly where they stand in the eyes and in the sight of your word. To know ourselves is a very difficult place to be in. But it takes the Spirit. It took the Spirit of God in the beginning to convict us and to show us how awful we were. When the Spirit of God began to deal with my soul, I thought I was the worst creature in the whole world. I thought there was no one as bad as I was. But the Spirit revealed that into me. The Spirit will reveal to every one of us where we stand before God. The Spirit of God is a tender spirit. He will not always strive with men. Men over there, before the flood, their minds was continually filled with evil imaginations. We find that in our society today. Men's minds are filled with evil imaginations, all kinds of inventions. Men have set up to occupy the minds of men. Folks, let's beware how we occupy our minds. Our mind is a delicate machinery, if you want to put it that way. And through our minds, we motivate, we do things. Whatever we have set in our minds, we usually do it. We follow the dictates of our minds. If we have a mind made up that we're going to do this, we'll do all we can to do it. So let's be careful this morning about our minds. Our minds must be directed by the Spirit of God. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And it's the same today. Men's hearts and minds is all filled up and cluttered, mixed with all kinds of God and mammon. God and a form of godliness. Setting up in their heart a form of worship. Setting up a method of relief. Doctors have been set up as a method of relief. Pain. Nobody likes pain. Who likes pain? Well, so man has just set up their own method of trusting man in man's wisdom. See, that's part of the worldly religion, is worshiping man, worshiping what man can do with all of his skill and all the things, education that man has set up in their own lives. And man trusts in man. And he said, cursed is a man that trusteth in man and make his flesh his arm. Amen. And then blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord. But man has always set up a particular altar of worship. Some way. Worshiping something. Something they idolize. Something they feel like they just can't do without. You know, if you got something in your own lifestyle that you feel like you just can't do without, you got to have it.
and you're not willing to sever that thing for God, that thing has become an idol unto you. This is a thing that will cause you to enter into idolatry. Anything you worship, anything you idolize, I can't do without it. I gotta have it. I'll do all I can to sacrifice to get it. And I'm not willing to get rid of it. You have set that up as an idol. An image. A likeness. See? Man is inclined to worship something. And so he has set up an image of something that he feels like that will give him relief, that will give him the thing that he desires for his own life. So he has set that up, and he set up his own method. And we read in the Old Testament where many have set up their own altars under their own trees, you know. They had their spatial trees and their spatial mountains that they set up their own altars. We find that in our society today. Many groups, many movements, many cults that are in our world today, following man, man rule, following the dictates of men. We are to follow the Spirit of God. Let him follow us. Let him lead us, and we will follow him. Learn to submit to it, regardless of your feelings, regardless of the past, regardless of people and circumstances. Follow the Lord. Disregard your feelings in it. Follow the leadings of the Lord. Follow the Spirit as it corresponds with the Word of God. It's important that we keep, this is how we keep everything cleaned out of our minds and our hearts. Is the Word have I kept in my heart that I might not sin against thee? The Word of God has a cleansing element along with the Spirit of God to keep our minds clean, keep our hearts pure, where we'll be able to follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit many times can't get into people's mind because it's all cluttered. The Spirit will strive the best that he can. But when people are not willing to turn loose, not willing to sever, not willing to break loose from their idols, not willing to launch out and get a hold of God, have a personal experience with him, taking time in prayer, taking time in reading the Word of God, getting yourself settled, deeply established in the things of God. This is important, very important. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, 24th verse, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seeds in his field. But while man slept, while man was unaware, that's what he's talking about here, man was unaware, see, his enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I was saying to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Right now is a preliminary harvest time. This is a time that the Word of God must go forth to sever the wicked from the just. This is a time that the Spirit of God is separating all the mixed groups out of his kingdom. There was a time that the sectarian world, God had actually was, Babylon was a golden cup in the hands of the Lord. And there's one time I remember as a child, we went to different places. My mother, I used to push her across town, sometimes 4 to 6 miles in the wheelchair, searching. And mother was searching for truth. And we have been places where they didn't allow things in their worship service. They didn't allow things in their lifestyle that they are allowing today. But right now, the truth is going forth with all of its pureness. The Spirit of God is dealing, trying to separate His people and trying to separate the tares. Right now is a preliminary judgment here that's going forth. Judgment begins at the house of God. As the Word of God goes forth in this meeting here, it's a time for you and I to separate. Anything, any thing in our lives that will interfere with God seeing His Son in it. I remember when I worked in a foundry. They had this steel that they would put in this great big pot to take away the dross and take away all the alloy and everything out of that. Where that will become steel, well, it will be able to support weights. And there's sometimes some of these iron, we found some that didn't have all of that taken out of it. And it would break. And it was faulty. So that was laid aside as rejects. And then later on, they would put it back in the pot again and try to get all the dross, try to get all the alloy and all the mixture out of that iron where it will become steel, able to be a supporting factor in the bridges and in the areas to where weight was involved in it. And now God has a method of taking out all the dross, all the alloy out of our lives, to where He'll be able to see down in our lives the image of Christ. Oh, Christ, the Apostle Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May God help us this morning that you and I begin to see, determined to know nothing among us except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to recognize this morning that God has a way of cleaning up our hearts, cleaning up our minds, helping us to be a pure stock. That when we face Him at the judgment bar of God, that He'll say, Welcome, thou faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Folks, that day is coming very soon. I tell you, we was talking this morning, or last night, Brother Nick Beta, and we was kind of talking about the end of time, or was it this morning maybe? We was talking about the end of time. And it seemed like every 2,000 years something happens. We're coming down to the year pretty close to 2,000. The year 2,000. Where are we? Where are we on the path of life? Where are we in the face of God? Are we improving in our daily walk with God? Are we doing all we can? Since my wife had her stroke, I have improved immensely in my spiritual life. There is things that I have eliminated. There's things I have turned loose of. I have turned loose of everything that had me bound. But through this ordeal, I've submitted more to God. Folks, in your trials, let the trials work in your life to burn out and get rid of everything that will hinder you from standing face to face when you meet Christ at that judgment bar of God, when He will say, Welcome. Folks, that's going to be a happy word there. Welcome. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. As you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Folks, this morning, we can't play religion. We cannot just play around with this. This is real. Real this morning. God's calling for you to be an example in this dark, wicked, this adulterated generation we're living in. The world that is filled with obstinate ideas and humanistic views and all of these things. We need to stand up as a pure stock. I tell you, the enemy has set up his own worldly religion made up of groups. God's not interested in groups. He's not interested in congregations. He's not interested in families. He's interested in individuals. I've heard folks say, well, my congregation, I tell you, they're really outstanding. I tell you, they're a real example to other congregations. Well, God knows them that are His. Now, in the midst of all of that, God knows the one that He can trust. In our family circle, God knows the one that is His. The father and the mother, the children, the grandchildren. God knows them that are His. Right in the midst of your family, God knows them. And God knows me. And it behooves you and I to know ourselves. Know where we stand. Know our own heart. Know our own mind, our own thinking. Where are we? Are we in tune with God? Is there anything in our lives, any alloy or any mixture in our lives that are pulling us away from the truth? Pulling us away from the Spirit of God? Let's always keep in the influence, under the influence of the Spirit of God. This is important. That we keep under the influence of the Spirit of God. Let Him lead us. Let Him guide us along lives. Tares are similar to wheat. I understand back in the biblical days, and it's you have to get real close to it to determine there is a difference. Folks, God is calling for you and I to show the world there is a difference. There's a difference between a child of God and religion. The pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. He's calling for a spotless, blameless church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Not even a wrinkle. Not even. You know what a wrinkle is? It's an overlapping of another piece of material. Without spot. You know what a spot is? A spot is a foreign subject, substance that has got onto the garment. And you can see it a lot clearer when it's white. If you got a colored garment, you can't hardly see the spot. But God has given us some good, pure linen, white, righteous, clothed with righteousness and godliness. And God wants us to keep all the spots of humanistic ideas and opinions, guard against our argumental subjects. When you feel like you're right, every man is right in his own eyes. But he said, the Lord pondereth the heart. And we have a right to disagree. I believe all of us have a right to disagree with some things. But beware in that area that we don't break the unity. We do not break the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we all come to the unity of the faith. I remember Brother Chandler years ago when he brought a message about our agitators. And he was down here in Oklahoma City, I think, when he brought that message. And he mentioned about our agitators, but he said, beware. He said, it could be your children, it could be your wives, it could be your husbands, could be your neighbors, agitators. This agitates you. Now, if you tell your child to do something once, and they just kind of ignore you, and you tell them again, and they just kind of ignore you, now how do you feel the third time? You kind of get a little stirred up in here a little bit. It should never come to the third time. A heretic after the first or second admonition, you better reject it. Don't stand there and argue and try to bring your point. Folks, we don't have to argue about the Word of God. It will prove itself in your life and in my life, in our words, in our conduct. We don't have to prove the Word of God by standing here and arguing until we get our own souls damaged by argumental attitudes. Oh, dear ones, may God help us to be a pure stock. We'll hurry along here now. But over here, Matthew, the 24th verse, I brought that out a while ago. But in the 24th chapter of Matthew here, and about the 4th verse, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. Don't we find that in our world today? I'm a Christian. Yeah, that's so common anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. No cigarette in their mouth. They're a Christian. And they say they're a Christian, and the next word that comes out of their mouth, it's a curse word. Oh, I'm a Christian. We all sin more or less every day. Many shall say, I am Christ. I'm a Christian, and shall deceive many. We're living in that day. Ye shall hear wars, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now we'll drop down here to the 23rd verse. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Many movements are springing up. New cults that I haven't even heard of before. Springing up. And different names. For there shall arise false Christ, false images. See, that's what it is. False images here. I'm a Christian, setting themselves up. See, in other words, they're just coming to the place where they're setting up their own method of worship here. See, this is my way of worshiping the Lord. They shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, listen, they shall deceive the very elect.
Amen.
Folks, let me tell you something. We're not exempt from being ensnared by the enemy. We're not exempt from his tactics. He's very subtle. He's the same today as he was back there in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to have to be careful. This here very spirit here of deception here will deceive the very elect if possible. There is a possibility that the enemy can deceive us if we'll let him. So we have a job to do in keeping ourselves pure and spotless and keeping ourselves under the influence of the Spirit of God. Romans, the 8th chapter. We'll hurry along here. Romans, 8th chapter. Pure. God wants us to be pure. Pure in mind. Anything the enemy might project in your mind that is not according to the Word of God, not according to purity, you better get that thing out as quick as you can. That thing will take root. The next thing you know, it'll develop a lifestyle there that'd be hard to get out. In Romans, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, and we know, now let's see, the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of his Son. This is what God is calling us to. Be not conformed to this world, but be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, be in his likeness. As he is, so are we in this world. It's there. It's written. as he is. How is Christ? All of the attributes of Christ is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holy in conduct, holy in your attitudes, holy in your speaking, holiness in your words. Folks, let's be careful. Don't break the unity of the Spirit. Let's all stay together with the same mind, the same purpose, and the same aim is to please God. As I deal with my fellow man, as I deal with my fellow brethren, I'm dealing with Christ the same way as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren. You do it unto me. Folks, let's begin to regard one another, respect one another. And I mentioned a while ago, we have the right to disagree. We do. Paul and Barnabas disagreed. Wanted to take John Mark, and the Apostle Paul didn't feel like it was good to take him right now. He was inexperienced. And Barnabas, the contention was so sharp that they just departed. Rather than stand there and argue my point, I'm going to depart and still let the Spirit lead me and lead him and so forth, and without breaking the unity. We have the right to disagree. But folks, let's don't grieve the Spirit of God. Take him along with you. Let him guide you. Let your brother have his dealings or have his last word. Let the Spirit deal with him. And let the Spirit deal with you, and go on serving God. This is important. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves in discord. And it'll break the unity of the Spirit. And the next thing you know, there's divisions, there's movements, there's groups. These groups and these movements is made up of folks that has been hurt.
Amen.
These groups and these movements are people that can't get along with their pastors, can't get along with the congregation, the ones in the congregations, so I'll go over here now and I'll just set up my own method of worship over here. And they become part of the mixed multitudes. Oh, may God help us this morning. 2 Corinthians. Now, he's calling us now, as we just read, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. Predestinated. We had a Bible study on that in Myrtle about a few years back. And we had several nights of this. God has chosen not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. That was his purpose in the beginning, that all men would come into unity. The Jews and the Gentiles, the whole world. He has chosen that. That all men be saved. Whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely.
Amen.
You know, God wants us to live to where he can comfort us in times of sorrow.
Amen.
In times of grief. In times of heartaches.
Amen.
He wants us to be so close to him. To where we can feel his comfort. Where we can feel the comfort of the Spirit. He is the comforter. Oh, there's times the Lord has comfort me. In the times of stress. In the times of perplexity, in almost 43 years since the Lord dealt with my soul, I went through a lot of changes in life. We go through changes, unexpected changes. And the Lord has helped me to know myself a little better, to know what's hindering me from walking the way God intends for me to walk. And by the grace of God, God wants to get all of us into heaven. He wants you and I to be free from man, free from the confusion of the world's interest. Get ourselves to the place to where we can wholly and completely surrender and submit our hearts to God. Completely surrendered him. Been married to my wife over 40 years. And I seem like I just got to the place I can't lose her. I got to have her. The Lord said, no, wait a minute here. What about my will? What about my will? Oh, I wept. I cried. As I seen my wife suffering, it looked like she was going to go. At different times, it looked like my wife was going to go and leave me. And I wept and I cried. I finally came to the place where I said, Lord, if it's your will, take her. I'm taking my hands off. Your will is the most important part. Let your will be done. And I've submitted. Now I have less crying. I'm still concerned. But my crying was that I want to hold on to my wife. There's a lot of things you and I want to hold on to. Our loved ones. These personal enterprises. The things that are dear to us. I remember times in our, even in my own home, there was time it looked like death was just about to overtake one of our children. And I wanted him. I didn't want to turn loose of him. But when I came to the place that where I was willing to turn loose, folks, we're going to have to be willing to turn loose. Your will is involved in this. You must be willing to turn loose of everything. Don't make nothing your idol. Not even your wife. Not even your husband. Not even your children. You can idolize them. You'll sympathize with them. If they go wrong and someone reproves them, it'll come to you personally to where you'll stand up and begin to have a wrong attitude. Trying to defend your parents, trying to defend your children, trying to defend your wife or your husband. Here you are setting up your own defense, setting up your own method instead of letting God take care of all of your problems, see? We need to turn loose a wife, husband, children. You need to love them more. You need to love me more than you love them. That's what Jesus said. Folks, there's a lot of things you and I can idolize. That's why people get hurt. Well, now they talk about my brother. Now they're talking about me. They got me to tangle now. Oh, may God help us to turn loose a brother and sister and children and wife and husband. Let them talk about my wife. I'm still not going to allow anything to come into my life. All of these mixtures of hurt feelings. All of these bad attitudes. All of these things creeping in that will make me part of the mixed multitude. And God will not honor that. He will not recognize that. He will not recognize that at the day of judgment. All of this must be taken out. And I come to the place, and I have learned a lot through this affliction my wife has went through with. I have learned to endure more. Learn to turn loose. Learn to be more submissive to the Lord. Learn to let come what may. I'll accept all the changes in my lifestyle. Folks, we need to learn how to accept the changes that's in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3 and 7. He said here, that's 2 Corinthians 3 and 2. Let's see. That's 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't we find it that way? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will set up a standard against him. Praise God for the Spirit. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. One translation here I like to read. I thought it was real good. We are transfigured in every increasing splendor into his own image, and the transformation comes from the Lord who is that Spirit. Oh, may God help us to be transformed into the same image of Christ, the same likeness, the same tone, the same tenor of Christianity is based on Christ. That's why they call it Christianity. It's because Christ is involved. Christ should be the center point of all of our lifestyle. He should be the center of all of our activities. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And now I want to go over here to Revelations to get our last little thought here. Revelations, the 15th chapter, and the second verse. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. What is fire? Fire purges. It cleans. It burns. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. Image. We got victory, and we can have victory.
Amen.
Through the Spirit's burning. Burning everything out of our lives to where Christ can be seen.
Amen.
The sea of glass. Transparent. He can see through that. We sing that song, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior."
Amen.
That my blessed, His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. A transparent life where Christ can look right through the heart, and the only thing He can see is Christ there. He can look right down in our minds and He sees Jesus. Oh, let me tell you something. When He sees Jesus, He'll honor Jesus. He'll favor His people. He'll bless you. He'll honor you. He'll do all He can to bless you in times of perplexity, in times when you're down and out, in times when you don't know which way to go. He'll be there to comfort you, to help you, to aid you with His Spirit. And at last, He'll get us to heaven. Oh, I want to get there so bad. Oh, I want to get there. I don't want nothing. Oh, I'm getting farther and farther away from the world, farther away from people. Don't let people bother me. Let them say what they want to say to me. Just let them go on. The Apostle Paul said, as the Spirit dealt with him, the Spirit said, bonds and afflictions will abide you. But he said, none of these things move me. Unmovable. He was being led by the Spirit, not by feelings and circumstances and people, but he was being led by the Spirit of God. And he said, these things don't move me now. I've already been afflicted, and I've been robbed, and I've been stoned. Now, another one? Well, these things don't move me now. I'm getting callous. I'm getting kind of callous to all these things that used to hurt me. Beware of these touchy spots in our lives. Sometimes we get a little touchy, don't we? Somebody says something, kind of touches us just the wrong way. Folks, let's come to the place where these things don't move me now. Let's get the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God just pour some something there over that, the world will be callous to all of these things that seems to offend us. Oh, a life got victory over the beast and over his image. Oh, the image of idolatry, worldly religion. Got victory over worldly religion. Victory over movements. Victory over the congregation. Victory over my family. Victory over everything that will hinder me from serving God.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Oh, may God help us. And over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Standing on the sea of glass. Oh, let me tell you something. This counterfeit religion. Thank God. God has a pure church. And he knows his own. Remember our main thought. The foundation of God standeth sure. And the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So may these few thoughts bless your souls and help you is our prayer. You pray for me that I'll be a part of the gospel. Amen.